Welcome to Smart Muslimah Podcast. Inshallah, if you find this podcast episode useful, please subscribe and tell your friends and family about Smart Muslimah. Also, good news, I have a newsletter, and that's how we can stay in touch. To subscribe, please go to smartmuslimah.com. Details are also in the podcast notes. In the newsletter, I'll be sharing my book recommendations, productivity tips, and online courses that I've created, and also information about a new book that I'm writing called Smart Single Muslimah. Inshallah, it will help you to transform the way you approach love and relationships. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Farhat Amin. I'm your host. Inshallah, if you like this podcast episode, please subscribe and tell your friends and family about it. So we're talking about why liberalism glorifies singledom. Now, why talk about liberalism? Well, we all live in liberal progressive societies, and even in the Muslim world, we are so affected by liberal values. And so it's inevitable that our views about being single are being affected by liberal ideas. Now, you may think being liberal is a good thing, because we are taught that the opposite of liberal is backward, traditional, restrictive. And to be honest, these are labels that are given to religious values and Islam in particular. So in previous episodes, I have spoken about liberalism and I will do so more. But let's just focus on how, you know, liberals are subtly telling us how to view singledom, and then what is the Islamic view on being young and single? That's what should really be shaping our views. So from a liberal perspective, singledom equals freedom. That's really important to understand. But of course, they do have rules and laws for the common good. It's not unrestricted freedom. But when you think of being single, you are free. That's the, you know, one really big idea that's given to us. You know, no commitments, no responsibilities. You can experiment, you can enjoy yourself, you're young, you're free. You know, that's all the messaging that we're getting through popular culture. Think of the music, think of the movies. And, you know, it's a time for you to make mistakes and then you learn from them and you grow up. That's what you're doing. So even though you are an adult, it's like you're still growing up. And just the main thing that message we're given is that just don't harm anyone else. You know, everything should be consensual. And apart from that, the restrictions are quite limited. So, you know, most liberals argue that through exercising freedom, that's how you achieve happiness. Now, I'm going to refer to a 18th century philosopher called Jeremy Bentham. He wrote a book called An Introduction to the Principles of Morals and Legislation. And in that book, he said, nature has placed mankind under the governance of two sovereign masters, pain and pleasure. It is for them alone to point out what we ought to do, as well as to determine what we shall do. So he had a major impact on the thinking of, you know, classical liberals and the modern liberals today. He's one. There are many others, but I just wanted to focus on Jeremy Bentham. You can, you know, research him more if you'd like. So he's saying that the thing that should decide, in other words, the pleasure you are likely to receive from an action is the only consideration you should have when undertaking an action. So according to many liberal thinkers, freedom comes from the unrestrained achievement of our human happiness. So if something gives you pleasure, then you should do it. Yeah, that will bring you happiness and you should have that freedom to do it. And when your freedom is restricted, that's when you're unhappy. So can you see it's your whims and your desires that are your driving force? So that's what we're being told as individuals growing up. So as a young person, you're then thinking, and when you're single, you're thinking, well, I'm going to do things that I enjoy. I'm going to do things that make me happy. So whether that's, you know, what I eat, what I drink, how I dress, you know, who I have a relationship with. So these are the things. It's all about happiness. Yeah, what makes you happy. You know, roles, responsibilities, the community, you know, even rules. You know, isn't it true that when young and single, rules are there to be broken? That's the message we're given. So now you've then got, so that's one main idea. You've got happiness and freedom go hand in hand. And then you've got the side, liberals also believe that humans exhibit a strong sense of individualism because they possess rights. Yeah, if you think back to John Locke that I've spoken about in previous podcasts, where he said, you know, human beings, he's started off the whole idea of human beings have certain rights and liberty and the right to own property. And these rights, you know, have grown throughout time. Different rights have been added. So now individualism is the belief in the supreme importance of the individual over any social or collective, you know, i.e. the family as well. So the rights of the individual and the needs of the individual come above the rights of, you know, any kind of social collective. So therefore, you know, if we think of, you know, when classical liberals, they believe communities often stand in the way of the individual. You know, therefore, your family and community restricts you. It's interesting that Mary Wollstonecraft, the first feminist, said society stifles individuals, because she believed that, you know, religion and family, they were restricting women. You know, they were putting these rules on top of women that are, you know, stifling her. And it's not just about women here, it's about men and women. That what liberals believe is that you're truly liberated and you have autonomy when you're no longer restricted by the rules imposed by religion, family, or your community. And what you have to do is, the ideal situation is that you, you know, remove these shackles, these things that are restricting you, and then you will be happy. So can you see how that's the beliefs upon, you know, if we think of UK and US, that's what society is built on. There's many other thinkers who've added to this, but in general, they are the principles that we are taught as individuals. And this idea of individuality and expressing your individuality, it is very strong. You know, if you just think of just clothes as an example, everyone is encouraged to, you know, don't follow the crowd, dress how you want, wear, you know, whatever colours, whatever styles, whatever level of clothing, you know, and uncovering you want to do. That is totally your choice, you know, and you should be able to express yourself. So now, taking those ideas and putting it into the context for a single person in particular, that if you're thinking that's what you've been brought up with, so now once you reach the age of, you know, puberty and you're mature, how do you then live by those ideas? So if you then think about it, that's one set of ideas you're being given. And then when thinking of, well, why would I want to lose those freedoms? Why would I want to increase any kind of responsibility on myself? I want to stay single and free. And it's interesting that up to when we're thinking of in the Western context, up to the 1950s, people didn't used to view singledom like that. They did actually, men and women had a very, there was a general idea that you were single, you know, you studied, you gained a job if you were a guy, and then you wanted to get into a committed relationship, or you wanted to get married. But now when the sexual revolution happened in the 1960s, the message was very loud and clear that you now had sex, drugs, rock and roll, they were all open. It's like the doors had flung open. And you also now had the pill, and abortion was legalized. So now men and women didn't have to, they could actually have, there were no consequences to adopting this now very free liberal lifestyle, and it was becoming normalized. So women didn't need to worry about getting pregnant, men didn't need to worry about having, you know, getting a woman pregnant, so he didn't have to have those responsibilities. So things really did change in the 1960s. And again, for men and women, because it's interesting that if you've ever heard of this, you know, there's this filthy magazine called Playboy magazine, and it came out in the 1960s. So now the person who started this off, the founder, was Hugh Hefner. And he really created this new, you know, added this cultural change where instead of men thinking, you know, I want to grow up, I'm going to be loyal and be a married man and be a father, that's what they were aspiring to. Now what they were aspiring to was to become a bachelor, an eternal bachelor. So, you know, and a bachelor would be someone who didn't use his salary to support his wife and family, but instead to support his consumer lifestyle. And he would have fine food and drive fast cars, and he would sleep around with women, and he'd have these non-committed relationships. And so if you look up Hugh Hefner, you see, again, he had this magazine, and then he had these restaurants, or, you know, a nightclub, sorry, where this lifestyle was promoted. And it's really interesting, this change that happened, this became normalized. So now, when you've got, so as a single, over time, this is what, you know, if we're thinking back to the history of from the 1960s to now, this is the messaging that singles are given if you're living in the West. And so you now have a point where, this is a statistic taken from the American Conservative.com. In 2009, for the first time in history, there were more unmarried women in the United States than married ones. So you now have and it's not, again, there are similar statistics for men, that men and women in liberal societies, marriage is going out of fashion. That is not the default thing that they want to do. So now, as Muslims then, we are not immune to the effects of these trends. And, you know, trying to stay afloat in such trying times is becoming increasingly difficult. And it's peculiar how society teaches single people to desire sex without commitment. And that is what we are being told, that you can do that. So, however, as Muslims, we are not genuinely content living in this hypersexualized and carefree paradise, in quotes, as they would put it. Because as, you know, believers, we are ever mindful of Allah, and insightfully, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, the world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the unbeliever. And that's in the Book of Muslim. So you can see liberal societies have become this paradise, this, you know, unrestricted actions, but it completely makes sense based on their values and their principles, like I outlined, because their values are freedom, individualism, you know, this idea of, you know, as long as, you know, you do, happiness is what is freedom equals happiness. Yeah. And so now in modern Western societies, unmarried people can now, so you have a situation, they can legally have sex, live together, raise children, buy property, and do almost everything else associated with a committed relationship. So why do they need to get married at all? Yeah, that is a valid question. They have no reason to do that. And so again, we are then, as Muslims, we're affected by that thinking. And so if you know, and so the thing that they no longer have, you see what they have compared to what, you know, for Muslim single, the problem that is there for us, you know, for us, is that whereas they will go and have relationships out of marriage, in our deen, that's haram. That's, you know, zina is not permitted. So you have that dilemma that how do you then, if you're going to take this thing, adopt their way of thinking, you are going to, there's going to be a clash when it comes to Islam, because ultimately we don't, freedom is not the arbiter of our decisions. Pleasure is, does not decide if we do something or on, or if we do not do something, you know, good and bad. Our arbiter is the Quran and Sunnah. We take Allah's guidance to tell us this is good, this is bad. And so as far as, so let's just have a look, how should we view being single? And there are many, I could bring up many hadith and many examples, you know, that if we just look at Surah Kaf, there's one example of, you know, young Muslim men and their struggle in society. We could look at the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and that the alayhi salam, and what happened to him as a young man, how he kept his, wanted to stay pure in the face of, you know, so much fitna. And maybe, inshallah, that will be the content of a podcast for the future. But as, if, for example, you are single and you don't want to get married right now, again, in Islam, there's no, you don't have to, but it's highly recommended. But how do you use your time as a single person well, that instead of that adopting their ideas of just experiment, be carefree, you know, be very materialistic, for example, could be time to consume, or even focus so much on your career. You know, that's another thing that's an idea that's really pushed to us all, that work hard, really, really hard, and your career is somehow makes up for, you know, that should be a massive focus in your life, because ultimately that's going to get you a job, and then that's going to get you money. And again, in a capitalist economic system, that is success. So again, that we can see where that comes from. But I'd just like to mention one hadith. And so in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take benefit of five before five, your youth before your old age. So when, and let me read the whole hadith out. Your youth before your old age, your health before your sickness, your wealth before your poverty, your free time before you are preoccupied, and your life before your death. Narrated by Ibn Abbas and reported by Al-Hakim. So when you're single, you're usually young and fit, inshallah. And so your youth, so whilst you're young and fit, you can do so much. Yeah. So, for example, waking up for tahajjud is much easier when you are young, because you can get away with less sleep. You know, doing, for example, doing charity work. You know, if you, let's say you're doing a hike for charity, you can do that when you're young, when you're physically young. Yeah. Again, now your health. So whilst you have your health, just think about how much easier it is to memorize Quran. Think of how you can be helpful to your family. Yeah, doing DIY around the house, helping your mum with the cooking, helping your mum with the cleaning. You know, these are things you can do with your health. Now again, your wealth. Now whilst you're single, you may not have a really good job, but you know, if you do have wealth, spending that on sadaqah, spending that to help other people. Like again, I'm thinking of volunteering. When you're young, you have the time, because in the next one, you're free time. Rather than, I know because of the pandemic and the lockdown, relying on social media became the norm. But alhamdulillah, many of us are now out of that. So starting to transition away from less time, screen time, you know, and especially unnecessary screen time, that you're just mindlessly on there, using your time to volunteer at your masjid or with a charity, or, you know, there are so many good charities, whatever you're interested in, whether it's helping the homeless, helping with domestic violence, but also free time you to study. You could, you know, you can always learn languages when you're whilst you have this time of, you know, where it's true, where you don't have the responsibility of taking care of a spouse, you don't have the responsibility of taking care of children, so you have time. So learning more Quran, tafsir of Quran, learning Arabic. You know, these are all the options you can do, even online, inshallah. And then your life before your death. Now, people think, and we're all guilty of this, that I'm going to die when I'm old. But I know of people who've died when they're teenagers. I know of actually three people who passed away, three young men. One was 15, another was 16, another was 18. So, and these are just people I know. So your lifespan is not going to be old age. You can't say that for sure. So all this time and that you have, and this energy you have, use it well. That's what you should take from the hadith. This is how you can be using your single years well. Now let's just take another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a young person who grew up with the worship of Allah will be among the seven who are granted shade by Allah when there is no shade but His. That's in Bukhari. That's part of a long hadith which talks about the different types of people who will get the shade of Allah. But again, let me put, a young person who grew up with the worship of Allah. So starting to introduce more, you know, working on your salah to begin with, making up your fasts, adding more dhikr into your day, adding salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning du'as. You know, these are all things, if you were able to organizing halaqa for other young people, getting involved with an Islamic organization that does these things. So these are all things that, I'm not saying you don't have to do all of them, but slowly doing, while adding more and more into your you know, into your time, in timetabling it, into, you know, waking up more early, going to sleep early, so that your time is more productive. So there's a lot, mashallah, you can do whilst you are single. So no one's bashing being single. And mashallah, when I think of some of the single people I know who they are doing these things, you know, it's, they don't then have time to get into the bad stuff, and they haven't got time to chase girls or boys, and they're keeping good company. And it really does have, and if, you know, if you're in the process where you want to get married but it's not happening at the moment, busying yourself with good Islamic activity, that will help you. You know, one thing I would say, that helps you meet other Muslims, and you, it may be a pathway to getting married. But it then takes your mind off any despair or negative feelings or, you know, sadness that you may be feeling, that I'm not married at the moment, inshallah. But so inshallah, I hope that that was useful. That rather than just giving a simple explanation of why, like if you've ever wondered why is being married looked down upon in, you know, in the West, you know, this is what I wanted to explain. And why is there, even I hear Muslims say this, that, oh, I don't want to get married, or why would I want to get married? You know, getting married, it's like ball and chain, and, you know, it's, that's, my life would be over. They're the kind of negative connotations that are given to marriage. And inshallah, my intention was to explain why singledom is raised on this, pedestal, and marriage is kind of put down, you know, it's somewhere down in the dumps. But inshallah, like I said at the beginning, if you found this episode useful, please subscribe and share it with your friends. You can listen to all the previous episodes on whichever podcast app you find most beneficial. You can also sign up to my newsletter, which is smartmuslimah.com. And if you'd like to follow me on Instagram, my handle is farhatthameen_UK. Inshallah, let's remember each other in our du'as, and take care. Asalaamu Alaikum. Inshallah, if you found this podcast useful, please leave a review so others can find out about it. Currently, this podcast is a one-man band. I do produce and do everything on my own. But unfortunately, due to health issues, I'm going to have to reduce the frequency of the episodes that I'm creating. So I really do need to hire some people to help me to produce the podcast and to really market it as well. Now, inshallah, you can help me and support me by doing dua, inshallah, for my health. And secondly, by donating. You can do that via the link in the podcast notes and also on my Linktree bio, which is farhatthameen_UK. It's on my Instagram bio as well. Your donations will help me cover production and overhead costs, and you'll be part of this amazing work, helping me to grow the Smart Muslimah podcast to another level so that we can reach more people, educating and sharing this beautiful deen, Islam. I'm tremendously honored and blessed to have a community of people who value what I do. So again, thank you so much for your du'as, reviews and donations.